my life has worked out that way. I spent, what, more than 20 years in politics until the British people saw fit to dispense with my services. And on my sabbatical, well, I've been making television programmes, in particular travel programmes, travel and history, Great British Railway Journeys, Great Continental Railway Journeys, and Great American Railroad Journeys.
12 years on, do you miss the cut and thrust of political life?
I don't. I had a good innings, I think. I was there for about 20 years. I was quite near the top of the greasy pole. I had a very interesting time. It was an enormous privilege. Mainly, I enjoyed it very much, but I felt entirely that my time, was over in politics. I wanted to do something else. And reflecting on it philosophically, I think it's marvellous. You only have one life, as far as we know. It's great to have two careers.
How well do you think we got to know the real Michael Portillo as a politician?
An intriguing question. I think probably not very well, but that's probably my fault rather than anybody else's. But I've certainly been, more open, more relaxed, more forthcoming, friendlier, I think, as a television presenter. But it's also a great deal easier to be those things as a television presenter than as a politician. As a politician, you're generally on the back foot, you're normally on the defensive, and that can make you look, a bit mean.
Let me take you back, if I may. May 2nd, 1997. How much of a shock was it, considering everything that was going on around you, to lose that seat?
Not a particularly great shock. It was a foregone conclusion by then that the Conservative government was going to lose and lose big. This was the ascendancy of Tony Blair, and we'd been in for 18 years, and the last 5 years have been really awful. And even in the last few days, I felt pretty certain I was going to lose my seat as well. So I was psychologically well prepared for it. And you might find this bit difficult to believe, but I was actually also quite relieved because the Conservative Party had been reduced to a rump. We were down to 160 seats out of 650 in the House of Commons. And I would have been expected to run for the leadership of the Conservative Party. Who wanted to lead a rump party that was going to be irrelevant for the next 5, 10, or 15 years?
Did you have a plan B, so to speak, straight away?
It emerged fairly quickly. I mean, I had always been interested in broadcasting. When I was a kid, I was very interested in broadcasting. I was an admirer of people who made documentaries. I remember David Frost coming to my school to address the Sixth Form Society, and I was very impressed by that lifestyle. So I had, two ambitions, politics and broadcasting. So it was natural for me to try and make the broadcasting bit work. I think the surprise to me has been, the way it has worked out, because obviously one thing is to try, but another is to have some luck and succeed.
I'm interested to get your take on some of the jaw-dropping moments in political life since you've retired. As an observer, where does Brexit figure in all of this, considering your whole career as well?
Brexit, looking over my career, probably looking back, I would think even to the Second World War, is the greatest change in United Kingdom policy ever to happen, as it were, overnight. I think, the Brexit referendum produces a bigger change of policy with the British government than almost any, probably than all general election results when you have a change of government. So without there being a change of government, or at least without there being a change of party in power, we've had a complete reversal of our foreign policy. So it's remarkable. It's epoch-making.
And how do you see the whole political landscape in this country now as we move forward through, I suppose, what you could say are rather uncharted waters?
Yes. I mean, to some extent, I feel a little bit disappointed in as much as, I'd waited since 1992 for another majority Conservative government to be elected, like waiting a very long time in the cold for a bus to come along. And now the Conservative government is obviously going to be completely 100% dominated by Brexit, so kind of nothing else matters. But we are in an extraordinary position because the Labour opposition has collapsed, obviously lost all but one of its seats in Scotland. We don't know what the future of UKIP is. The Liberal Democrats have pretty much disappeared from the scene. So the Conservative Party, even if not particularly loved by the British people, finds itself in an extraordinary position of dominating the political scene, which really, I think is very unexpected.
Michael Portillo, my guest this afternoon. Michael, a wonderful career, as you mentioned earlier on, since you retired from politics, travelling the world by trains, amongst other projects. It's like living the dream, isn't it, for you?
It certainly is. I mean, one of my great loves is history. I studied history at school and at university. And although we travel by train, train is our kind of vehicle. I mean, I think it's a bit of a misnomer. Our programmes are called Great American Railroad Journeys or Great British Railway Journeys. And of course, they are about railway journeys, but they're really, I think, fundamentally about history, and they're about what sorts of people, you know, live on the continent of Europe or live in the United States or live in the United Kingdom or Ireland. And I'm, you know, hugely bucked by all of this. I love meeting people and I love, you know, exploring what the past was like and what is left of it today.
How challenging was it for you changing gear from being the one grilled on a regular basis as a politician to, I suppose, a wholly different aspect of being in the media spotlight?
I had to take off the stiff shirt, if you know what I mean. You know, I think I was very stiff. I was, you know, when you're in politics, you are very wary of what you say because everything has to fit in with what you've agreed with countless others to say. And the business of producing a documentary is not to be wary, it's to be very open. And that has taken me a while. There's no doubt about that. It's been a period of adjustment. And I love the way that the programme encourages me to do things which are way outside my comfort zone. You know, for example, I'm no good at any sport and I'm absolutely terrible at dancing. So again and again, I'm made to try my hand at sports, made to, you know, do ridiculous dances. I don't know, in Bulgaria or in Ireland or wherever it might be. And so, you know, the old stiff shirt front has been ripped away by this process.
We're not going to see you on Strictly Come Dancing anytime soon then.
No, I couldn't match Ed Balls. He's way out in front.
And just following on from what you said earlier on, do you sense a greater warmth of attitude towards you now? Not because necessarily of who you are, but because of maybe what you stood for in the political arena previously?
Oh, yes, of course. But I think that's only natural. I mean, I think in a way it is regrettable that, you know, people don't feel very warmly about their politicians. I think on the whole, their politicians are, on the whole, genuine people trying to do their best. But they're not often treated like that. But I think it is perfectly natural. And as I said before, I think it is just much easier to be a TV presenter, or certainly much easier to be a popular TV presenter than to be a popular politician. And actually, popular politicians should probably be distrusted. Anyway.
What can we look forward to when you come to Lincolnshire?
I talk about my career for about 50 minutes in a fairly light-hearted way, but it has its poignant moments, it has a few jokes, it has a few reflections, and then in the second half I expose myself to questions. Now notice that I say questions, not questions and answers, because I used to be a politician.
What's the question you get asked most commonly? Is there one in particular?
Oh, pretty broad. I mean, first of all, I would say 50% about railway journeys, 50% about politics. I haven't left any space there to say about 5% about why I wear such ludicrous jackets.
Very smart, Cash. And future plans, Michael, for you? Anything in the pipeline you can tell us about?
More of the same, only different. So starting very shortly on BBC Two, we'll be moving away from Britain and Ireland, which is the current set of programmes. We'll be moving into railway journeys across the United States. And then once they've been shown, we'll actually be packing our bags. I'm ready to go off and make a new series, which I think will be in the United Kingdom, the United States and Canada, and maybe Asia.